Welcome to the Jessica Pennelly Podcast. I am the female coach to empower your mind and teach you how to become confident in your body. Join me on this voice journey as I hold space for you to reconnect back to yourself. Jessica Pennelly Podcast. We are up to episode 102 and I'm so excited because I have a guest back on the podcast. Is Steph Connolly, and I cannot wait for you guys to listen to this episode. It was a very special episode, a very raw episode, and I hope you all enjoy it. So here we go.
Hello guys, so I am here with Steph. Steph was actually a guest on the podcast on episode 80, so if you haven't already, go listen to that episode. It was a good one. But if Steph is completely brand new to you, she is one of my Bali besties, except now we're on completely different sides of the world, and I thought I would bring her back onto the podcast. And yeah, without further ado, welcome Steph.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me back on.
It's a pleasure. I know, I love it too. Thank you so much for coming back on. So last time we spoke and last time you were on the podcast, you were in Bali. Now you're in a completely different country.
I am. I'm currently in England, which is very interesting because seeing as I haven't lived here in around 7 years, decided to take the leap and come back. So here I am. Pretty cold.
So what made you take that leap? Why do you want to go back, or were you forced to go back considering the current global situation?
So I had been feeling like a pull to come back to the UK since probably around January, and I'd made myself quite like clear about that to quite a few people, even to the point that I decided to get in contact with somebody that Jess and I both know, called Steph, who is a tarot card reader, and she's amazing. And I met her when I did my yoga teacher training years ago. And anyway, I messaged her, booked in for a tarot reading, and I was like, hey, look, I'm feeling these weird pulls and I need some clarity around what I want to be doing. And I mean, some people are really into the hippie side of things and tarot reading and some aren't, but I just thought, what the hell, I have nothing to lose. And so we did a couple of readings over the start of this year. And the second reading was around the fact that I am being pulled to travel and I'm going to be traveling for love. But I would only be traveling when I had a particular sign that was coming up, because I knew in myself that I wasn't necessarily ready to go to the UK. And I didn't really know why I was going to the UK. I just had this like pull. One of the things that I knew that I wanted was to meet somebody. I'd gotten to a point in my life that I was ready to sort of like settle down and share my life with somebody on like a deeper level other than a friendship. Because I think in Bali, you share your life on so many levels, but I was ready for that sort of romantic side. I've obviously over COVID, everything sort of came to a halt, and dating life just went down the pan. And I was even questioning myself on whether or not I wanted to have open relationships and things like that, because everybody was literally sleeping with everyone. Yep. And it just wasn't a vibe. And I was like, I don't really understand. Okay, is this what I really want to be doing? And so it just sort of went on for a little while, and then Bali announced that they were kicking everybody out within 30 days. And I remember that notification coming, like I've got goosebumps thinking about it now. That notification came in, everybody started panicking, and I went, this is the sign that I was looking for. Now, I could have extended my visa, but I would have constantly been extending it on a 30-day basis or whatever, because my business visa had run out like 2-3 months prior. And I just thought, this is the sign, this is it. Fuck it, let's go. I even spoke to my mum about it, and I was like, I don't know what to do, what should I do? And she was like, you're stagnant, leave, like go. So I did. I booked my flight and I traveled for over 24 hours and I got back to the cold UK, and here I am. How many months in am I, like 2.5 months?
Wow, that's gone fast. Yeah. I remember when you first left. Oh my God. So what was like the initial, when you landed, you made this choice, and we'll go back to like you filling a pool, but what was like the initial, you landed, you probably had a wait week, you started to like find your feet. Like, what were you feeling? What were you thinking? Did you straight away think like, yeah, this is the right thing? Or were you like, oh, I don't know?
I mean, I landed and the weather was amazing. So straight away, like, it was beautiful. The sun was shining. It was like 30 degrees. And I was like, this is easy. No problem. I'm ready for this, because I didn't have any winter clothing. So I was like, yeah, this is great. The only thing that I really struggled with was the fact I had to put proper shoes on, and my feet were covered in blisters. Like, they were bleeding constantly. I spent a fortune on plasters. And that was like the one thing I was just like, this is stupid. Who wears shoes? But I actually threw myself in straight away with like dating and meeting up with people and just doing all the things that I sort of haven't been able to do. So for like 2 weeks, I literally went hard. And I was like on the dating apps, and I was out and I was meeting people, and I was talking to all these like strangers who, by the way, everybody in England starts with a J. So it was really, really confusing. I think I had about four James that I was talking to at the same time. And I started naming them like James 1, James 2, James 3. Like, I was like, this isn't okay. This isn't okay. And I actually ended up getting myself into overwhelm. But I found the transition into the UK pretty easy for the first 2 weeks. And then when I moved to my auntie's, that's when I started to sort of struggle, because I was in the middle of like fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, what am I doing? Yeah.
So how did you get through that then?
I think I just had to be a really like forgiving with myself, because we put so much pressure on ourselves in life. And I think we've put a lot of pressure on ourselves over the COVID period. So many people have been like crazy productive. Some people haven't really done much, and either or, like, we're in the middle of a pandemic and we have to be super forgiving. And I think one of my hardest things was the fact that I wasn't able to get from A to B really easily. I mean, it's half an hour away from a train station. It's like 2 hours if you want to take a public bus. There's no gym around. There's literally just, everybody is at least 20 years older than me in the area. And so I was just, I just had to be very much forgiving on my routine, what I was doing, what I wanted to be doing, and start making sort of smaller changes, such as starting to run. But
yes, that's right.
Yeah. I think one thing that did keep me grounded was the fact that I still was able to travel, and my auntie and uncle were amazing, and they would take me to the train station, and then I would come into London. I'd spend like a week in London and then go back.
Yeah.
And it's my solitude for that travel back and forth.
Nice. Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you find that was good? That was good, yeah, that you were able to, I guess, chill out, because as you said, you kind of got back to the UK, you threw yourself into, you know, dating and just being like all over the place and like energy everywhere. And then all of a sudden you were like kind of at a standstill where it's like, whoa, okay, everything slowed down. Do you think that was necessary and good?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think I'm a very, I would say over COVID, I realized that I was quite like an introverted extrovert. Yeah. And I really enjoyed being introverted and having my own alone time, but then also going out and socializing. And because I did so much socializing, I got to a point that it was just too much.
Yeah.
And I was taking on all these people's energy. And I don't know whether you've ever spoken about it, but one of the things, when you've gone through a lot of healing and you've done a lot of self-work, you do end up tending to attract people into your circle that also need the healing.
Yes.
And so you end up having these like really deep conversations because they're seeking something more and they can feel that you have done it and you've done the work.
Yeah.
And so it becomes quite draining after a while. And that was something that I started to really struggle with. Like every time I was on a night out, I would have like three or four different people that would be coming in and talking to me about traumas that have gone in their lives or something that they haven't recovered from. And, yeah, it was, it got really intense. So when I left and I went to my aunties and uncles, I was sleeping, I was able to recover, I was able to do the things I needed to do, because I was just, my mind was just like maddening.
Yeah, I can imagine, because like you said, when you have done that healing and when you do the work, whatever that's related to, like, you attract those type of people who need to do that work, and the universe will kind of bring them, and you kind of hold space for them. But holding space for people, especially when it's something to do around healing and trauma, whatever type of trauma it is, it's draining. It takes your energy, it's tiring, and you need to protect yourself. So I can only imagine that as soon as you got to your auntie and uncles, you were like, yes, I can sleep, I can be by myself. That would have been so good.
Yeah. Literally. And I think another thing that I was like really struggling with was routine, and trying to find a good routine. And when I was jumping between the two places, I wasn't able to get myself into something that flowed. But even still, I actually have minimal routine, just because I still bounce around. But I know something that you talk about is your anchors, and I think those are the things that I always turn to. So like, it's like cups of tea, or being able to read, writing my to-do list, making sure I give myself time to write or to do those things. So even if one day I'm in London, another day I'm in Surrey, I've just been away for 5 days in Cornwall, like, and then I'm back in the middle of nowhere, I'm able to constantly refer back to those anchor points. And I think that's what helps to keep me going, because it used to be things like going to the gym, going for a surf, and now I don't have the access to that.
I think that's really important, like you said, having an anchor or anchors to help you bring yourself into the present moment, even if you find like you location wise you're moving around a lot.
Exactly. And I think something, obviously, like before we jumped on, one of the things that we were talking about was obviously sort of catching up on our lives and everything. And I said one of the things before I was moving here was that I was ready to meet somebody. And I think that also comes into play, because I actually met somebody on my fifth day in the UK. And then from there, that started to transpire, and I had to be again a lot more forgiving on myself for the routine that was having to come into play. And that's where I'm at now, I think. And I'm just sort of, I'm currently sat in his dining room whilst nobody's here other than somebody who's doing the work. So I work downstairs, so I apologize if you can hear drills. There's been a lot of movement and shifting and changing. And I think one thing that so many people struggle with is being able to let go of those reins, because I have been that person where I couldn't let go. And now I've just been able to let go of everything, and it's actually quite magical.
Even and to surrender.
Concepts around like, yes, exactly. Even concepts around like eating, and my daily, like what I'm wearing during the day, and again, like going out, doing physical activity, all these sorts of things, I've surrendered into this like brand new, like fluid life where I'm just like going to and from a different place, not having a consistent space that I call home. And I should be really grateful for that, and I am very grateful for it, but it can be quite taxing at times. And I'm sure so many other people can resonate with that, being like going to and from, especially if you have just come into a new relationship and you are going from one to another. It can be quite intense.
Yeah, I agree. But I think it's important, like you said, what your mum said about, you know, you were stagnant. And like, even we had many conversations before I left Bali and while I was back in Perth, where I was like, Steph, like, I think you know this is the right thing, but it's always going to be the choice of like, when you decide. Like, everyone can tell you, but it's when you decide. Let's go back to what you said. So you were kind of in a space where you were ready to meet someone, you're ready to attract a life partner and someone you can spend your life with and share your life with. And as you said, that's happened in England, and that's been an exciting development in your life. For everyone listening as well, Steph just celebrated her 30th birthday 4 days, 3 days ago. So happy 30th.
Yeah, thank you.
But before we dive deeper into the relationship per se, why don't you speak about like what made you kind of get to that point? Because you've had long-term relationships and you've had, I guess, short-term relationships. And, you know, what has kind of made you just before you turn 30 be like, okay, I'm ready now. Now is the time.
I think what obviously happened after like my last long-term relationship, I came out of it and I thought it's going to be a long time until I meet somebody else again, because there's lots of comparisons that you go out there and there's still so much healing that you need to do. And I realized that I projected a lot of the insecurities onto my partner at the time, to which I apologized for a year or so later. But I think over the past couple of years, whilst being in Bali, even though I have had very short-term sort of like dating instances, was that I still wasn't ready in myself to let somebody in, because I was still dealing with particular issues such as maybe like trust or a judgment of self, not feeling good enough or worthy enough, even though I am such an advocate on self-love and all those sorts of things. But I think this year, when I started debating things that were not in alignment with my values or like the way in which I perceive relationships, like open relationships and polyamory and things like that, they could be for others. And I have no judgment on that. I find that fascinating. I find it very interesting. And I'm all for it. However, for myself, when I started getting to a point that I was considering changing my viewpoint, I thought, no, what am I doing? But I realized by then, the fact that I'd even considered that was that I had done so much work internally to be comfortable enough to venture into something like that. I was like, well, this is interesting. If I'm able to show up in a very different way, I feel like I have gained so much strength and I've done all the inner work that I needed to do. And I think straight away when I got to the UK and how I was very sort of sure on what it is that I wanted, I realized I was very much ready to be bringing something in and to be bringing the right person in, because I know what it is that I want. And I think that's something that's really, really important for most people who are going through these scenarios, to get really clear on what it is that you want to be bringing into your life. And that can be for anything, whether that's relationship, work, clients, job. Yeah. Like I always say when I'm working with clients, like you have to be so sure on who it is that you want to be bringing in to work with, that you don't look at your phone and think, oh God, can't reply to them. Or like, oh, this is the wrong person. I don't really know what I'm doing with this person. Like everything sort of needs to be in alignment. And so then you're able to pinpoint where things are sort of often going wrong when you can look at it from a bigger picture. And so I started dating as soon as I got here, and I was meeting people like on dating apps and things like that. And I was sort of trying to understand what it was, if they were the right ones and everything like that. And then another thing that I always say is that having options isn't a good thing. So unless again you're into like polyamory and whatever, then maybe options are for you. But having options isn't a good thing. Same in business. And I had numerous options coming in, including like on your dating apps, you have like 10 different messages all coming in at the same time. And I just got to a point that I would literally like go and throw my phone away from me. I'm like, oh God, no, can't deal with that anymore. And I just deleted it.
Do you think, just question quickly, do you think while you were, you know, obviously when you get on a dating app, and for anyone that's listening that has used a dating app, as Steph said, you have so many options, right? You know, they're coming from everywhere. Do you think though, like what you said, you know, you kind of decided and made that choice, like, I'm ready, but you also decided, like, on the type of person that you wanted and what your standards were in a relationship and who your, I guess, ideal partner would be, or what qualities and traits that person would have. Yeah. Do you find that even though you had made that decision in your mind, and as you got to the UK and you were leaving Bali, that even though you were on that dating app and you went on dates and you had many options, did you find at any point that, obviously, you know, not everyone's going to be a perfect match, because there's no such thing as a perfect match.
Oh, yeah, no.
But did you ever have moments where you'd be on a date with someone and they'd kind of align and you thought this would be a good time, but then what, did you stop yourself because you're like, hang on a second, like, I've made it the decision of who I want to be with and who it should be, and did that kind of stop you from going any further with people, or did you explore that like the entire way, if that makes sense?
Yeah. No, I explored. I definitely did, because I just thought, like, on an initial meeting of somebody, you're never going to find everything out that you need to be finding out. And, like, that's the same as friendships. Like, you'll meet somebody, and, like, when you first meet someone, you could think that they're a complete bitch. But actually, in reality, like, 2 weeks later, they could be your best friends, and you realise that you made an absolute terrible mistake, and they're a great human being. And I think that's sort of what I was trying to do, and I was just like trying to figure people out. We're always trying to figure people out. But certain things would come up, such as, like, my biggest thing is communication. Speak to me. And so I was meeting people who weren't able to do that. Like, you could tick all the boxes that you wanted, but they actually couldn't communicate efficiently. What do you want in your life? I have no idea. Okay. Well, that's not great, because you can't communicate it to me. So you're obviously not communicating it yourself. And this is going to forever go on and on. And I mean, like, there was one person who I was talking to since last year, incredible, incredible guy, but can't communicate. So where is that going to take me? Like, these are sort of in my values of, like, communication is key.
Yeah, I think that's important. It's like, people won't be perfect, but you have to stay in alignment with your values list of a relationship. Like, you know, people who you were going to potentially form a romantic relationship with, or even platonic relationship, yes, they may not, like, they may annoy you in some instances, they may do things differently, but like you said, like, something like communication is a big one for me as well. Like, if you don't know how to communicate, like, whether you're a friend or whether you're a romantic partner, like, it's not going to happen for me. And I think, you know, I see a lot of people, I don't know, you have two stuff where people will like that person because there's so many other things that are good, but then the main value they don't tick off, but they make excuses. And that's where the boundary line is, you know, pulled back. And that's where it's a mess, and it's never going to work, because one of your crucial values aren't getting met.
Yeah, exactly. And those boundaries, what you said, are so important. Like, we often let go of a lot of boundaries when we fall into sort of, like, we get all loved up and we go into these, like, cyclical moments, and we let go of these boundaries. And then, like, a few weeks in, we're like, oh my God, wait, no, I need to stop and bring myself back. I'm overwhelmed, or this isn't sitting right with me, or I'm feeling really uncomfortable with X, Y, Z, because we haven't been clear enough on our boundaries when we first set them. And I mean, I met some amazing people over the first few weeks when I first got here, but there wasn't really, well, there weren't those alignment aspects. Like, the guy that I'm currently in a relationship, like, I now have a boyfriend, who would have thought, like, after 2.5 years or nearly 3 years, I have a boyfriend. And not everything matches up. A lot of it does. We're great communicators. We have, like, very open and honest conversations. It's amazing. But, like, there's certain things that worried me straight away. For example, he's very much into his niceties, so like, loves a fancy watch, loves a fancy car, has the most ridiculous wardrobe I've ever seen. Whereas for me, I've literally just started wearing shoes again, so like, there's like a whole entire thing where I was like panicking, and I was panicking to myself, and I was like, don't wear a watch, like, my rings are from, like, all over the place. I wear like cheap earrings that fade within seconds. Like, the probably the most valuable thing I have on me right now is a necklace that my friend gave to me free, like, because and I helped her out with something for like so I panic, but I communicated it. I was just like, there are elements for me where I feel like I may not be worthy enough because I'm not into the things that you're into. But at the same time, I think it's wonderful because it shows an element of balance. I can show you my side, you can show me yours. And then there's like a beauty in that sort of like exchange of energy of the two different things.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting one.
I think that's so interesting, like the complete contrast there. But, you know, with that type of thing, I think, not that it's a small thing, I don't want to downplay it because it's not a small thing, but it's more like we said, you know, you have your non-negotiables, your values that like you need to be able to tick with someone. And then you'll have something like that, you know, that can be like, he likes all the nice stuff. And then you're more like, you know, lower key than that. And I think those are things that you are able to compromise on. You're able to, I guess, work through if you both, I guess, choose to, right? But, you know, I think if you... And from what I've learned from my own experience and, you know, with loved ones in my life, the moment that you start to compromise the values that are important to you, or you start to make excuses, especially in the honeymoon phase, however long that lasts, then you'll find like it will never last long term. It's impossible.
Yeah. Agreed. And I think one of the really important things when you're starting something new is to actually talk about an ex or where things broke down before. Now that doesn't necessarily mean like
you're like first day, hey, constantly. What's your trauma?
Yeah, genuinely. Hi, by the way, so this is what happened with my ex. Yeah. Like, what happened
so,
with yours?
Hi, nice to meet you. Yeah, nice to meet you. Let's talk about our trauma from our past relationship. But in saying that, and in joking about that, when would you say is a good time, or like what date, or should you just gauge it by person?
Yeah, I think it just sort of naturally flows. Like, it wasn't something that I was going to casually throw into like a first date.
You're like, when can I bring this up?
Actually, do you know what? I actually think it did happen on my first date. So my first date, and bear in mind, I literally shat myself because he took me to the Ivy, which is the most amazing restaurant. So lovely. I was in Vans. I had Vans on. And I was like, oh my God. Like, And a vintage denim jacket. I was just like, no, what's happening? But he loved the Vans. He was like, it's like the skater girl look. And I was like, that's really cool if I could skateboard. I mean, but I can't. Like, so, you know. But I remember, like, we got into like really unusual topics of conversation. I think one was briefly about exes. And it sort of came into conversation like casually. And I was just like, yeah, I mean, you know, my ex slept with a prostitute. So that was probably one of the reasons that we ended. And he was like, right.
Right. Okay. Like, note to self.
Don't sleep with prostitutes. But like, I don't know. I think you gauge the conversation, because at the end of the day, we're only human. We will bring up our exes and our past relationships unless we have something to hide. And I'm a very open person. So I tend to bring them up straight away. This is how I was feeling. This is what took place. Like, the reason why this, and like, it's good to know why things ended, because like, you could either be on complete different pathways or anything like that. He was really open with me. And I also asked him questions. And I think that's really important. Like, it's great to listen, but you need to ask questions, because it can help them delve deeper into something that's taking place in their life. And so like, within reason, obviously, not to overshare, but he wasn't, the last relationship he had was slightly more toxic, because he wanted his ego to be filled by other women. And that sort of thing. And like, we've had these conversations now where I turn around to him and I will literally say, hey, if you do something, that's on you.
Yeah.
Like, that's not on me. And I'm like, yes, of course it will hurt and it'll be painful and I'll be absolutely raging, but at the end of the day, that's on you. And I was just like, and nothing can change because of that. And what will happen, well, I will pull away, and then this is what you have to be left with. And he's just like, I've never had these conversations before. And and I think so often we blame ourselves for certain scenarios that take place. And yes, there may have been emotions that have come up for us to maybe push somebody away, or in the way in which we've reacted. But at the end of the day, actions that are take place from somebody else, that's on them, that's not on us. And we blame ourselves and kick ourselves for so many things, but that's their problem. How we deal with it emotionally, that's ours. So that's something that we've had like numerous conversations about. And I think another one for me has been, it's lovely, but he'll look at me and he'll be like, you're just perfect. And I'm like, no. Perfect is like a trigger word for me, because there's no such thing as perfect.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and as well, in my past relationship, my ex turned around at the end of our relationship was like, I'm looking for perfect and you're just not it. And so for me, that is a major trigger. So at the weekend, I think it was actually on my 30th birthday, we were in a petrol station grabbing gin. And I was just like, hey, look, listen, you keep calling me perfect, and I just want to let you know that it doesn't really sit well with me. And I mean, I love the fact that you talk to me in such a way, and it's so beautiful. You have a beautiful mind in the way in which you envisage me and see me, even in my like rankest forms. Perfect is not a thing. Let's maybe stray away from it. And he's like, okay, I understand it.
I think that's so good that you kind of like, for lack of a better saying, like nip that in the bud at the start as well, because how much harder, and I've seen this, and I've probably done this when I've been younger, is like you kind of let something that's not that much of a big deal like go, and it keeps going and going and going, and then it just gets to the point that if you like brought it up and you had a problem, it's like, well, I've been saying this or doing this for like a year or 2 years now, what do you mean you have a problem? So I think, like you said, at the start, it's really, I think I used to be like this too, but I've definitely learned, but I see people get so afraid when they're starting a brand new relationship to set these boundaries, to have these conversations, to instill exactly what trust is, exactly what love is to them. Because I think people get scared. And I think I used to, that if you impart this onto someone, a new partner, then there's that fear of like, okay, what if they're like, fuck this, I don't want to be part of this. Now I can say that, like, okay, well, that's perfect, like I've gotten rid of you type thing, like we don't need to waste both our times, you know, you diving into this, what's the point? And so for anyone listening, like, just remember, if you're starting a new relationship, and even if you're in a long-term relationship now and you're listening and you're like, yeah, there's things that I haven't set boundaries around, have the conversation. Have the conversation, be honest. Be honest with what aligns with you when it comes to a relationship, what's important to you. And, you know, I have another friend, I won't say too much because I know she does listen to the podcast, but she is in a relationship right now, and there's a few things where one thing has happened, and she, at the start, she was really upset, really frustrated, really angry, and it's gone on for so long now that when I asked her about it, like last week, I think it was, she was kind of like, oh, well, it's not that much of a big deal to me now. And I'm like, okay, but when we spoke about this time last year, it was a huge deal for you. It was basically a deal breaker. And see, what happens is you become numb and you start accepting other behaviors. And she's noticed this because other stuff has started to slip in the relationship. And I'm like, you are just saying this thing over here is not that bad because now other things are slipping. What happens when these other things also slip? There's going to be nothing left to fall. And I just thought it was like such an insightful thing that you can love someone, you can care about someone so much, and you will make excuses for them. You will say it's not this bad, or I can deal with this, or you know, it's a smaller thing, or people have it worse, or like my last relationship was worse than this, like I can deal with it. But like, you know, Steph will agree with this, like don't just deal with something for the sake of it. Like, it needs to align with you. You need to be in it. You need to be able to tick off your non-negotiable values. And if you don't know that, what those are, whether you're single right now or whether you are in a relationship, I urge you, sit down. Literally Google a values list. If you're like, I don't know what a fucking value is, Google a values list. And you will see beyond hundreds of values come up. And just like, what are... I don't know, your top like 5 to 10 values that you need in a relationship. What's a non-negotiable?
Yeah.
And see where those are getting met if you were starting to date, and see where they're not getting met in a long-term relationship, especially long-term, because you can become lazy. You can forget, but you become comfortable. You get used to things and you forget, just like my friend. That's a long-term relationship. And she was really, really upset about something. And, you know, a year's gone on and it's slipped so far that she's just like, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter, even though that was a non-negotiable. So I urge you to all dive in deeper, look at your values in a relationship, look at what makes you happy. But also, I loved what you said, Steph, when you were like, if they do something, and you know, this is circulating around trust, when they do something to break your trust, like, it is on them, you know. And I used to be in that headspace too, where, and I'm sure you have, Steph, where you, someone does something to break your trust and you're like, well, why aren't I good enough? What reflection is that of me? Like, they did that like because I did this, or I did this wrong, or I don't look this certain way, or I don't act a certain way. But it's not. It's all to do with them, and it's they've done that. That's on them. If someone wants to break your trust, you can't take that personally. That's how they feel inside of them. And I think, like, you know, that's important to note.
Yeah. I mean, I even had the conversation with him last night, the same conversation, and he turned around to me, bless him, because, like, I think the mindset is so different to him. And he was just like, okay, that's cool, but don't be too easy on me. Like, don't be too easy. And I was just like, I'm not. I was like, these are the things that you need to be putting in place, not me. I'm not going to chase you around and be like, hey, are you being a good boy? Hey, are you making sure that you're not cheating on me? Hey, can you stop flirting with all these people? Like, no, I'm not going to, because I am not your keeper. Like, you are you, I am me. And what we're supposed to be bringing to the table is like a combination, a team. Like, we're supposed to, what's the word? Complement each other. It's supposed to be that sort of thing. And if we don't complement, then we can clash, and then we talk about it. And that's cool. And we've got to have these conversations. Like, mate, I've been on a date before with somebody who says, yeah, when I have an argument, I tell each other to go and journal it before we come back to talk about it. And I'm like, no. There's a time and a place for your journaling, but if you're in the middle of an argument, like, let's sort it out, then we can go back, and then we can go away, then we can come back again. But you have to understand that the majority of the time that we're getting angry is just a projection of our own insecurity onto somebody else or something that's going on inside. But yeah, it's a funny one. Like, when I turned around, I was like, I'm not your keeper, babe. Like,
that's the thing. And like, you see so many, like, yeah, you see like dynamics where it's kind of like the boyfriend, I guess this could work both ways. The boyfriend is kind of like the son, and you act like the mother. Like, I see that so often, and I'm like, no, that's not a healthy like relationship dynamic. Like, not in a fucking weird way, but I mean, like, that you shouldn't be like looking after someone in their way. Like, no.
Yeah. It doesn't work like that. And I guess that's obviously just something that's been learned in past relationships. So somebody's been like on them constantly. Where have you been? What are you doing? Why are you talking to that person? Hey, look, if you want to be having these conversations and you want to be like breaking my trust and disrespecting, that's on you. Like, this is okay. But coming back to something that you said about like the non-negotiables and things, like, I have my non-negotiables and I have all of these things. But one of the elements that I have actually taken a little bit of a step back on, but I still am keeping it at the forefront of my mind, is drug use. It's something that doesn't sit well with me in the slightest. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never really been one, like, trust me, I've dabbled and whatever and that side of things, but I don't really necessarily condone it. Mm-hmm. And when I first got here, obviously everybody in the UK, I mean, you know, in Australia, it's the same. Everyone in the UK does it. I don't. And so I'm like the unicorn who just doesn't do it. Mm. So I went to a few of these parties and everybody was just like on it constantly. And I had to sit him down and I was like, hey, look, I get it. I'm not here to change you and your behavior because, again, this is you. That's your life. But you have to respect the boundaries in which I'm about to put in place, which are, you can't do it when I'm around. You can't do it X, Y, Z. I refuse to be the person that you come to the next day because you're feeling in a paranoid hole. Like, it is a no from me. If anything, you know that it's not good for you. You know it's not great for your mental health. Make the decision. So, like, it's just those sorts of things. But it's so normalized here. So I'm not the norm. But that's where I have sort of let go of that non-negotiable, but I've set my boundaries.
No, but clearly. See, that's the thing. You have set boundaries with that non-negotiable. And this kind of goes like, I guess, like two tiers. So you have your non-negotiable, you set your boundaries, but then the other way is kind of like that is what he does. And you're like, okay, you can do that, but I'm not falling into that. But it's also not trying to change him and be like, look, like, I know that you do that when you go out and party or whatever, but if you don't do it, like, that's it between us. Because, like, you know, that's ridiculous. That's guilt tripping someone. And the worst thing that can happen from that is that he tells you, okay, Steph, I won't do it. And then 2 weeks later, he's gone on a bender. And you're like, okay, well, you broke my trust. Now look at that, you know. So I think it's important for stuff like that is that, yes, you have those hard and honest conversations. Don't be scared to put boundaries in place, especially when it comes to, you know, using drugs or drinking alcohol or whatever it may be in that sphere. But it's also important that, okay, to accept this is not what I want. I can't change the person in regards to that, and they're still going to do what they want, and you're going to have to let them with those boundaries, and that's where the trust comes into place. But I think it's so important. It's just like the whole like I guess social media thing, you know, when, you know, you make a guy like unfollow a girl or block a girl or like whatever it may be. And it's like, that is just going to make them want to one day like go out their way to go do it because there's that restriction. And that's where the trust gets broken, because it's like, well, I put this rule in place and now you haven't done it. You just set boundaries, you speak your mind, you be honest, and then you go from there.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. 100%. Dating is a whirlwind, but you can apply it into friendships and you can apply it into business. And that's like, they're all life lessons and they all combine, because you can't have one without the other. Like, if one thing is going shit, the other thing will also go shit. Like, you have to make sure that you're showing up for all and both. Yeah. Setting the boundaries.
I think boundaries so. Are fun. And I'm so excited for you for getting in a new relationship, because I know it's something that you've wanted for a long time, and there's been a few frogs that you've kissed that have been quite annoying. But, you know, in saying that, you know, let's kind of move on to the other side of, I guess, love. When you've had your heart broken, whatever that is to you, what are the things that you've done to kind of heal? And there's no right or wrong answer, because I think, you know, in the day and age we live in, and especially how our minds work, Steph, you know, straight away now someone's like, okay, you got to heal from this. We're like, okay, fuck. What's like the inner child work? What's the shadow work? What's all this breath work we've got to do? But I just want you to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, what did you do from your past relationship, which was a very heavy breakup, to the short-term relationships you had in Bali?
Yeah. I mean, my long-term relationship, when I came out of a breakup, I was in such an unhealthy place. Like, I knew I wasn't happy in life and where I was. So like, I literally went into like an emotional hole for about a week, and I like cried in bed, and my mum would come in and be like, all right, mate, enough's enough, get out of bed. And I'm like, it's been 3 days and it's 2.5 year relationship. Do you mind just letting me like mourn? Because it is, it's mourning. Yeah. You're mourning a loss.
You are mourning.
Like, you've got to. Yeah, I know. My mum has no patience with me. She was like, get out. And I was like, no, leave me alone. I didn't, and so many other people will resonate with it as well. Like, you don't really necessarily deal with it in the best way possible. You lose your appetite, you cry a lot, and you try and throw yourself into something that's going to take your mind off it, like going to the gym or into work. And that's what I did. I literally threw myself into work, threw myself into the gym, was barely eating, lost a load of weight. Friends turn around, they also have an unhealthy eating pattern, just an FYI, and we go, wow, Steph, you look amazing, you look so skinny. And so the cycle continues. And then I realized, I think it was just like a few months on, and I was like, at the time I was 27, turning 28, and I was like, I'm not happy. This isn't okay. I need to change it. Because we are not
okay. Okay, hang on. Where did that? How did that come? How did you come to that conclusion? Because, like, I know the person you are, and I know that you can come to that conclusion, but a lot of people can't for a long time.
Yeah.
What was like the trigger moment where you're like, no, what the fuck am I doing?
I was sat in a hotel room in Vietnam. And I'd gone away for 2 weeks. Luckily, it had been booked. It wasn't just like a random, like sporadic trip. I've been broke, had my heart broken, I'm going away. It had been booked whilst I was still madly in love, apparently. So I was in Vietnam and I was sat on this bed, and a notification came up on Instagram of somebody looking for an internship in Bali. And I was like, I'd wanted to go to Bali again. I'd already been 3 times. And I was like, and I literally turned to my friend and I said, I'm going to go to Bali. She was like, what? Why? And I was like, I don't know. June the 4th, I'm going to Bali. I didn't book anything straight away, but I was like, June the 4th, it's happening. So then I went back to Dubai because I was living in Dubai. And a few things were taking place. Like, I was working to the bone. I was up at 6 in the morning, coming home at 9 p.m. Like, my skin wasn't in a good place. I was drinking heavily on the weekends. And like, I just remember sitting there and something came into my head, which was my mum. And she turned around to me. Like, they weren't around, they were in Hawaii at the time. Just an FYI to those who are listening, yes, I am like a gypsy. I'm everywhere.
She's literally a gypsy.
You know, I'm all over the place. And I just remember my mum coming into my head, and this would have been a few years ago, and I was like constantly trying to tell myself I was happy. And she was like, I don't understand. What more could you want in your life? Like, why aren't you happy? You have everything. And and she's going, I am happy, I am happy, I am happy, whilst like fighting back tears, or whilst I was sobbing, I'm so happy.
I'm so happy.
Like, ugly crying. And so I sat by myself and I was like, and she came into my head and I was like, I'm not happy. What am I doing? So I just thought, okay, what I'm going to do is over the next like month, I'm going to sort my life out. I'm going to quit the job, which I was running my own business at the time. And I was like, I'm going to do something that's stable. And so I signed up to a job that was going to change my career in education. Done. Got the job. Signed the contract. Bearing in mind, I shouldn't have even gotten the job. I was 27. The job, that role that I went into, was somebody between like, it was around 40. Like, they should have around 20 years experience in this field. And I was like, I can do this shit. And I could, like, I'm great at what I was doing. And then I was like, right, okay, so I've done that. I now have money in the bank. I've got no commitments whatsoever. I'm going to go to Bali for 2.5 months and just have fun. I was going to do a yoga training, a Reiki, you know, get my spiritual on, work out, blah, blah, blah. That was great. Anyway, I went there within 3 weeks. I was like, fuck this, I'm not going back. So I like quit the job and just stayed there and had no plan. And then I just made it up as I went along. But I actually met somebody on my first day in Bali. So this would have been like 4 months after my breakup. And we dated for around like three months maybe. So that's like a short term. And I was very uncommunicative with him because I was trying to understand how I couldn't get my heart broken. So you try and do shit that you avoid to, like,
walls.
Yeah, and also to make out that you're the most amazing person in the world without any problems. And
so no one so breaks up with
they
you
love
again
you forever.
Yeah
And anyway, he went home to his mom and like for 2 weeks, and then decided he didn't want to be with me because he had to speak to his mum first. So like, he was the non-committal mothering type, and I was like, fuck that. So that hurt, and I went into a different cycle here where I decided to get drunk and just flirt with everybody.
Do you think at this point, if hindsight, do you think like you thought you had healed with like moving to Bali and everything, but now you realize that you probably hadn't?
Yeah, I definitely hadn't at that point either. And I think for a while I didn't. I was like having to constantly like talk things through, and I thought I really wanted something in my life when I didn't really want it in my life. And it's that sort of inner argument. I'm ready. And then the universe is like, no, you're not. Let me throw you a test. And I did. I had a couple of them, including Spanish Danny. I love Spanish Danny. He was great. We call him Spanish Danny. Along he came, all Spanish and intense. And I fell madly in love with him after like 3 weeks. I know. I had a surgery, and he, like, I met him for like 48 hours at the time. And I had surgery in my hand, and he came to my hospital room, and he spooned me in my hospital bed. And like, we were madly in love. But I was allowing things to take place without the boundaries being set. He had real anger issues towards women making money. So you have to go through these lessons. And I got like that one hit me hard. Again, I was quite like emotionally hurt by him, and I tried to lash out at him. So I was like lashing out at these people and projecting. By the way, if you can hear squeaking, it's a parrot. We have a parrot here. It's a very new thing in relationships. I've never known one to have a parrot. We have parrots.
Yeah, amazing. Bring him on the podcast.
Literally, you can do the 007 tune. Anyway, I think, so I've gone through the whole entire scenario of either like lashing out at people, getting drunk, having sex, or like stopping eating. And I've done all those sorts of things. And I think over time, especially this year, COVID just sort of made me like go internal. I used to think that I needed to have like really lots of social interactions to make me happy. Yeah. Whereas I was like, no, I actually need a lot of self time. And that was the game changer, because when you can go in and figure it out what you want, that's when the magic happens. Because you stop putting up with shit that doesn't serve you.
Yeah, so true. I think like, you know, when you're dealing with heartbreak, it's like, it's natural to do what you said, you know, go through these phases, date, have sex, get drunk, stop eating, get obsessed with the gym, like whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, like you've got to get silent with yourself. You got to go within. You got to understand what's really happening, why these emotions have come up. You got to understand like what has been reflected back to you in that past relationship. Mm-hmm. And again, know like whatever happened, like their actions and their behaviors is not a reflection of you. They're just mirroring back things that you need to work on. And I think that's so important. So yeah, I agree with you. Like you need to go through that shit. You need to experience that. But at the end of the day, like you can do that for years on end, but until you sit down and have a conversation with yourself, you're never going to fully heal.
Yeah, agreed. And it's really good to have like sounding boards as well. So like people that you can turn to and that you trust. So like you and I, we've had amazing deep conversations, and then other friends as well, but they've also got to be on that sort of same level and ready to like pull you up on that sort of thing. Like I have friends over here who do that, but then I've had one person who was like almost like battling within the fact that I was going into a relationship because like worried that the person's going to change and thinking and like, but then again, that's their own insecurities as a projection.
Exactly. But yeah, I think, like you said,
it's
important
to have... And
that's
when it really tests you.
Yeah, but it's important to have, you know, people who are... You can have these conversations with, like you said, a soundboard, but who are brutally honest with you. And I think, you know, that's something that I've always appreciated about our friendship is like, there's one thing about Steph and I, like we're just fucking honest with each other. Like we'll give it how it is. We don't care about hurting each other's feelings. And if we do, we just know that's a trigger point that we have to work on, whether that's to do with relationships or business or whatever it may be. So I think, you know, for anyone listening, like if you can like find that person for you or find those people for you where you can sit down and it's great to have friends that are, you know, team you and uplift you, but they need to have the side where they're like, hang on a second, like, I'm calling you out on your shit. Like, you need to do this, you need to do that. So yeah, I think that's key as well.
Yeah, definitely. And we will find these people throughout our lives. Like, when we start learning more about ourselves and our non-negotiables and our values, we're going to keep coming back to it. That's when we start to realize who we want in our lives, on a platonic and in a romantic way and in a business way and in a familial sense as well. Like, all of the things will start to connect and you have the aha moments and you're like, right, I get it now. Mm. This is why this is happening. And this is the person that I need to be having in. Like, just because somebody's your family doesn't mean they're going to be in your life. Yeah. And just because you've been friends with somebody for your whole entire life doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be in your life for the rest of it. It's very sad and everything, but we're all on our journeys and we have to divulge off and
true. I think, you know, it's good to have an awareness around, you know, when you outgrow someone, but when you can let other people in, but to just realize, you know, what are your non-negotiables, everything, you know. I know we focus a lot on, I guess, the romantic side of relationships, but like you said, it's all applicable to platonic relationships. It's applicable to your business relationships, your family, you know, every single relationship that you have in life, it's applicable to. But I 100% agree. And I think, you know, it's always the thing when it comes to, you know, love and heartbreak, is that learn from your heartbreak, but learn from your love as well, and realize where you can do better. And like I said to everyone listening, and even if you've been in a relationship for 5 years now, like, learn, you know, what's changed.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you've changed from 5 years when you first started dating. Like, what are your values now? Values change. Like, I'm sure, like, I know, like, I'm 27. I know 5 years ago when I was 22, my values were not the same as they were now in a relationship. Nowhere close. My non-negotiables were nowhere close. And so you need to realize that you evolve as you get older. You evolve depending on your environment and what you've been through. And it's important to recognize that and to bring self-awareness around that.
Definitely. And having a bit of a description around a value. So, for example, you could say, one of my values is trust. That's great. But what does trust look like to you?
Yeah.
And like, because trust for one person could look different to another person. So like, it's having that real sort of understanding within that. Like, for me, one of them is obviously communication. But how does that look like for me? And how does that look like for my now boyfriend? Like, we have to understand what those sorts of things are. And I wrote them all down ages ago, and I actually have a thing. So the process is sort of almost like, get really clear on what you want in your life. Like, maybe write down like a 5-year vision or something around that, those lines. Get clear on like what it is that you envisage and how you want to be feeling, showing up, your emotions and all those things. From there, you can start pulling out those emotions and how are you going to achieve them. Those sorts of fall into your values. Then from there, you can start breaking it down further onto like, what are you going to be your everyday non-negotiables and how can you show up in your best way possible? So those are the things that you have to be doing like every day to achieve whatever it is in your vision. Now, again, like what we mentioned at the start, sometimes you're not going to be able to achieve your non-negotiables if your circumstances may have changed, such as COVID. So then you start thinking about anchors and how you can be bringing these aspects and elements back into your life in a slower format, and just be bloody forgiving in yourself. Like, life is hard.
Forgiving yourself. Forgive yourself and just like give yourself permission to rest and to feel and to be honest and forgive yourself. I think that's a big one, because I don't think we do that enough. And especially, you know, this past year has been crazy for everyone in all different aspects. And I think that's one thing I've been practicing a lot. And I know it, you too, Steph, but it's like just forgiving that you're doing the best you can with what you have, but always, always bring awareness about how you can consciously be a better person, not just for people around you, but first and foremost yourself.
Yeah. 1,000,000%. Couldn't have said it
better. Yeah, I agree. Oh my God, this has been such a great chat. Such an insightful chat. Thank you so much. Before we leave,
thank you.
I want to bring awareness around your new little business that you've created. So why don't you tell my listeners what's going on?
Yes, so a couple of weeks ago, it'll be 2 weeks tomorrow-ish, we launched, my friend and I have launched a brand growth agency called Thirsty Creative. So we're really excited about that. It's all around helping either small to medium like enterprises, like small businesses or entrepreneurs, either reposition themselves within the market, grow, scale, or even launch. So this is everything from either like social media repositioning to full brand strategy. But it's really fun because we're working with those who want to create impact and conscious impact. So not just like anybody. We're pretty picky with our clients, along with the other way around. Like, we will fire our clients if we don't like them. But yeah, it's a play on words. It's Thirsty Creative, where it's about like making people thirsty for more and making your clients thirsty for more. And then, yeah, we're doing lots of things like thirsty thoughts, thirsty tips, thirsty Thursday emails, and just like playing on the whole entire thirst trap thing.
I love it. Love it. Amazing, amazing. Yeah. I'm so proud of you. That's so good. So where can people find you? And for everyone that hasn't listened to the episode with Steph, Steph actually has her own podcast. So where can we find you on socials? Plus, what is your podcast?
Okay, so on socials, you can find me on Instagram at steph.connolly. Spot the Irish ways. It's double N-O-double-L-Y. And then if you are an entrepreneur or you're looking for lots of tips around like branding, strategy, social media, you can find us at Thirsty Creative. And if you are looking for more listening pleasure, look at me selling myself. It's not lost .. Justin Barley. And we talk about everything from like business, sex to dating, lots more sex and dating. Parrot that is calling. It's great, great time.
Amazing, love it, love it. Thank you so much, Steph. Love you so much.
Oh my goodness! At that moment, our cameras and our audio both cut out. Hashtag Mercury retrograde. But I'm so happy it happened. Once we'd finished the podcast interview. So I hope you all enjoyed that. I enjoyed it so much. I love speaking to Steph, and I swear to God, I could make it a 3-hour podcast, but all of her details will be in the show notes below, and I'll speak to you all next week. Bye.